Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well, Aaron, we've got a sponsor this hour. It's Pat Bay Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, right up next to Phil's Prop Shop. So go up and see them if you're looking for John Deere products of pretty much any kind. They can, if they don't have them, they can sure find them for you. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or catch him on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
How easy is that? Well, okay.
What do we got going today, Aaron?
Well, Bill, I was going to do like free advertisement of the week. Who was it going to be? Oh, I know. It's going to be Nicolette Glass. I love those guys.
Yeah, they did a good job.
They always do a good job. They're making us some darkness screens. Tell you what, if you are... Are you experiencing, if you live in Redding, you're experiencing the magic of living 2 miles from the sun and in the morning.
I didn't know anywhere was 2 miles from the sun.
That lady from the plane. you put those dark shades on it. Oh, my gosh, it makes such a huge difference. And they go on with Velcro, so you can take them off if you want. Anyway, pretty awesome, and they're not that expensive, so you should give Nicolette a call. And have him make some for you. I did not look up their number. I am remiss. I will do that soon. But our guest, Dr. Shizong Chen, has not been on with us, for a little bit. I guess it was like April or something. And I was chatting with Ellen, and she said, "Where's Dr. Chen?" And I said, "I don't know. We'll get a hold of him." And he wanted to talk about the congressional hearing and some of the just kind of a different view of the diplomacy efforts, we'll call them. And he called me when I was, sorry, Dr. Chen, I was in the shower when you called. And then I didn't have time to rearrange the website, but I will, because I can do that while we're chatting. But you had an idea for where we were going to go with this, and so we're going to let him take that away. But I wanted to, for those people who haven't heard any of our shows with Dr. Chen before, you can go to wethepeopleradio.us, click on the tab that says China, and we have a lot of different shows with different people. But Dr. Chen has been, he has been our guest since back in 2019, a year ago, 2019, July 21st, actually. He wrote an article, "Can Chinafornia Ever Become California Again?" And it was like, I like that guy. I think he's going to be great. And here we are all this time later. He's been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years. He's founded, co-founded, or been spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China and has spoken extensively on issues related. Dr. Chen began his activism in 1989 when he helped to organize supporting activities during the 1989 Beijing student movement. Outraged by the June 4th massacre, Dr. Chen founded the Tiananmen Square Foundation and has served on the board of the Press Freedom Guardian. He was elected as the vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. And upon learning the brutal persecution of the Falun Gong in China, Dr. Chen founded the Falun Gong Human Rights Working Group in 2001, has since submitted over 100,000 cases of human rights abuses against Falun Gong practitioners to UN special reporters. He has also founded and is president of the Conscience Foundation, a nonprofit organization to publicize and remind people that human conscience is the very essence of humanity. He's spoken extensively on issues of human rights in China, and since 2001 has frequented meetings of the UN Human Rights Commission in Geneva, now called the Human Rights Council, spoken to the council and many forums to forward the cause of human rights. He was a panelist at the annual meeting of the California Bar Association and has spoken to Amnesty International's U.S. Easy for me to say. U.S. West Region, and has made numerous appearances at various forums and on radio and TV. He has a book, Stories of Conscience, The Falun Gong Report, the Falun Gong Humanity's Last Stand, and now in its third edition, and most recently a comprehensive report on the extensive psychiatric torture taking place in China. So he, in real life, he is, well, let's see, I'll skip to the end. So you'd think, like, okay, he's an activist, right? That's what he does. But actually, he was born in China in 1962, and at 15 entered the gifted program at China University of Science and Technology. He came to the U.S. in 1982 to study, and he received his Ph.D. in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego. He currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego in his free time. In his free time, he's a microbiologist, and the rest of the time, he's...
Yeah, that's what I do.
Saving the world.
Yeah.
So, Bill,
yeah.
Back to you.
He's a busy man.
He's a busy bee. Dr. Chen, thanks for coming on with us. And why don't you just kind of take it wherever you want to go? I really liked what you said in your message, but I won't reiterate it. I'll let you do it.
Yeah, thank you for having me back. And it's also a corporate time. Last week, or the week before, actually, the Congress held what so many people call a historical hearing about the existence of aliens. Now, finally, after this many years, after the government have been denying and actually suppressing the evidences and whistleblowers, now finally it broke open. There's no more denial. There's, you know, of existence of alien. And so, the hearing was over, you know, several hours long, so I'm not going to cover a lot of those anyway. Actually, that's available online, so I'm not going to I'm not going to talk about details, any details of it. But I just want to jump to one thing that, you know, I hope, well, I believe most people would, and I hope all people would come to that conclusion, and that is that humans are not alone. Humans are not the highest lives. You know, aliens are certainly not God, but atheism is totally false. The so-called evolution, Darwin's evolution theory, is officially dead. Right? It should have been dead a long time ago, but with that hearing, right, there can be no possible. There's no possible explanation for any technology. It's so far advanced above human beings. Actually, about a month ago, maybe two, right, about 2 months ago, a Harvard University professor dragged a magnetic net over an area of ocean where the Defense Department and NASA's own satellite tracking or meteor tracking program have observed the trajectory of a meteor back in 2014 and landed in a particular area, an area of, you know, about a mid-sized city. So it's a large area, but still, it narrowed down to that. And so this Harvard professor and designed a magnetic dragnet and dragged in that area, and then came up with 50-plus mounted metal balls, and this... They analyzed the component, ingredients of that, and then discovered that those are not from humans. And the material that's in it's already, if it burned, okay, it, you know, once it crashed into the Earth's atmosphere, that flying object is burned up. So what they was able to fish from the bottom of the ocean from that area is the, you know, the melted metal ball. But the team was able to calculate that those material will allow the flying object travel, right? I forgot the actual number, but maybe 100 times faster than than our spaceship. So it would take us 1 billion years to go out of the solar system or however, where there's a large number. Yet with their technology, it can go out in 10,000 years. So anyway, so recently there are many more of this kind of information available, but none as, you know, as official as this hearing. This hearing, and many people have already I checked several of the mainstream media, even they call that as a historical hearing. Now, I hope that this does not just stay in the technological arena, where the alien technology is, you know, beyond our human reach, etc. I hope that this will get us to realize that this changed a lot of things, right? Because alien, as I said, alien are not God, but the existence of alien proves that human are not alone. Human are not the highest. So that alone should be a death sentence to atheism. Certainly a death sentence for evolution theory. So now, if atheism is false, if we human are created by God, then we better realize that we human need to measure our activities with higher principles. Instead of our human principles, the interest, all those, you know, weird social theories, because if atheism is false, if divinity is true, then we are governed by principles of our Creator. Like that should be common sense.
Yeah.
And so, with that, I want to, you know, I don't want to talk everything in this particular program is related to China. I think this new paradigm should integrate our previous discussions in this station. You know, we have dozens of discussions of topics related to China. And this new paradigm should integrate our previous discussion all together very well. And I want to review a few things that we have discussed before. So we discussed that there are only two kinds of human conflict. The kind that even animal knows how to do, I call those interest-based conflict, you know, fighting for food, fighting for space, fighting for the right to reproduce, you know, fighting for a spouse, okay? So those, even animal knows how to do. And then there's a kind of conflict that only human beings know how to do. I call that principle-based conflict. And that deals with right and wrong, truth and false, good and evil. Right? So there are many kinds of principle-based conflict. I mean, interest-based conflict are much, much more prevalent. I mean, our daily struggle, our, you know, competing nations, competing companies, you know, they all deal with interest-based conflict. But what matters to a human being the most usually are the principle-based conflict. For example, freedom versus dictatorship, right? Communism versus capitalism. So those are principle-based conflict. Right? But above...
Sorry about that, Dr. Chen.
No, it's my fault.
No, it's mine. Oh, no, wait, it's Bill's.
Okay.
We'll blame Bill. Mm-hmm. Poor Bill. Oh, my goodness. All right, so I'm sorry. Go back to your train of thought if you still know where it is, if you know where you left it.
Yeah. So we talk about the principle-based conflict. The ultimate principle-based conflict is the fight or the struggle between atheism over the belief in divinity. Because if atheism happens to win, then everybody would be wiped out by higher beings, by God, by, you know, Buddha, by, you know, however different culture would call their higher beings be. Because human beings are created by them. When human beings no longer believe in them, and human beings will not have moral guidance, and will make them a complete chaos in immoral living, right? And so they'll be eliminated. There are historical records of that, right? Not only in the Bible, but also, you know, in the relics. So there were those historical examples. And so this conflict is more serious than any previous principle-based conflict, right? I mean, even if communism would triumph over capitalism, say, right, that didn't happen, but if that happens, well, at least those people in the communist world will live. Maybe they'll live miserably, but they'll live. But if atheism wins, the people from atheism countries, they will also be wiped out. So this is why it is the ultimate conflict for human beings. Well, this conflict has happened for a long time, right, throughout the history. But it has never taken the form as past World War II, particularly after the ending of the Cold War Cold War. I'm called Cold War I because we're in the Cold version 2.0. Cold War, so Cold War II. Right? So at the end of the Cold War, the free world won a victory. Resounding victory over communism. But there was one country, communist country, spared of that, that Cold War from the communist world. That's China. Together maybe with a couple of smaller communist powers, like North Korea and Cuba. The rest, the major part of the communist bloc were defeated from Soviet Union to the East Bloc countries, including Poland, Ukraine, etc. Okay. But China was, the Chinese Communist Party was spared. And then, given that, given how weak China was, the Chinese Communist Party came up with a new strategy, and we have discussed here on our program. I call that generous barbarism. Now, China was very poor. The free world was strong, particularly the United States, the strongest country. But this is why I say we have a new paradigm. Right? Now we can say confidently, without causing, too much political uproar, we can say that the U.S. is strong because U.S. based its system. American people based their life, their way of life, on the belief in divinity. They believe in God. And China was poor because the Chinese Communist Party not only prohibited people from believing in higher beings, in divinity, but that regime actually prohibited people from knowing the existence of Satan. So that's why that regime is more evil than even Satan, if that's possible, right? But that's what the Chinese Communist Party was. Right? Now, China, however, has the largest population in the world. In some people's eyes, particularly the Wall Street people's eyes, in the globalist eyes, that is a huge market.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so, the Chinese Communists, we call it the CCP. CCP, after seeing the defeat of the Soviet Union and East European bloc power, it knows it has no chance. And then also after the 1989 June 4th massacre, that the CCP also know it has lost its legitimacy inside China. At the world stage, communism is defeated. So even its ideology, become illegitimate. Right? And so it knows that it has no match for the rest of the world. So then it began to say, we're not going to threaten the rest of the world. We're not going to threaten you, the United States and the free world, which is a lie, by the way. We'll later talk about why it's a lie. Not only are we not a threat to you, we are not like Hitler, we are not like Stalin. Not only we're not like them, we're generous. We will let you in our largest market in the world. By the way, the opposite is true. It is the United States who let communists into the largest market of the world, the United States. And history has shown, whenever, or to whichever country, the United States opened its largest market into, that country will thrive. History has shown again and again, right? After World War II, Japan, Germany, right? Those were integrated back into the free world system, right? And so they have very fast economic recovery. So China then pitched this no threat, but generous. Okay, that's why I say it, I call it generous barbarism. Right? It's barbaric. Communism is barbaric. It's become more and more clear. But at that time, it was weak. So it was not as threatening. It was not as threatening as Hitler or Stalin. But it's nonetheless barbaric to the core. Right? Yet its barbarism is reserved for those who is under its rule, under its ruling. Right? So to the outside world, before it can, you know, impose its power on, it was weak. So it was, the world did not get to see its barbaric side. Right? So it says, you know, we will let you in our economic development, and you don't have to sacrifice anything, right? The only thing you have to do is to look away from the way we do things inside China. Look away from how we treat our own citizens, right? So, to the Wall Street, to those unprincipled politicians who were probably influenced heavily by Wall Street and, the multinationals, they then jump into China's market. Now, that is from the economic point of view, and that's why I say, you know, right now still, even as it is now, the Biden administration, particularly recently Janet Yellen, pitched that the profit that the two countries can share together when they develop together, right? So that is from human perspective. As I said in our last fragment, now we have to measure, we better measure our actions, our activities with higher principles. When you fuse these two economies together, one is based on the belief in divinity, the other one based on atheist. Actually, the Chinese Communist Party is not just atheist. Atheist says, oh, there's no God, okay? The Chinese Communist Party is anti-theist. It overrules. It's above God. God are not allowed to be, gods are not allowed to exist in China. Gods are not allowed to be known by Chinese people. Not only that, you know, Satan are not allowed to be known. So it's anti-theist. When you fuse those two economies together, that can only result in one thing. The corruption of the United States. Not just economically, not just morally, but also social, culture. You know, it's a all around, it's a multifaceted influence.
It permeates everything.
And, right.
Okay,
so,
hold that thought. We'll take a really quick break and come right back because you're so good at doing that. And it's always nice to have somebody who can keep their train of thought even though we keep interrupting. Anyway, we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. kind of fitting. So, Dr. Yeah. Chen, once we've once it's all, you know, they've walked us into this partnership, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you see for that? I mean, that's what's allowed them to create all this pain for people in China and other countries.
Oh, in the United States as well, right? So we are human. We human are not good at reviewing things at a larger scale. We look at the problems in front of our own eyes for this moment, right? And we're not good at look at how we came to this problem. So, back in 1992, really the engagement, economic engagement, with China, after, you know, really started in 1992, after 1992. There were, economic, engagement before 1989, but at that time, China did not have this, it's under a different, leadership at that time. So, after 1992, actually, Jiang Zemin was then the leader. So before 1989 was Zhao Ziyang, Hu Yaobang. So those are not household names in other countries, but they are in China. But after June 4th massacre, there was a new CCP head whose name is Jiang Zemin, and I think he certainly is the worst criminal in human history, worse than Stalin, worse than Hitler.
I was going to say, there's a lot of competition for that particular title. that's a busy place.
So, right. So then China was very poor and very weak in world standing. Yet in the next 23 years, Jiang Zemin was in power for 23 in power for 23 years. The next 23 years, the world saw the most stunning change of power ranking. China quickly become, you know, to some people, the largest economy, right? But certainly the second largest economy in the world. But it also starts to threaten the United States. In just 20 years, we, United States, allow China to change from the, you know, poor and weak country into a world power that threatens us. And even at that stage, Janet Yellen in June, still told the House Finance Service Committee that, quote, we gain and China gain from trade and investment that is as open as possible. And we are still seeing things from I cannot understand why those politicians hasn't learned from that history. Someone should have looked into it, asked the question, how we, the United States, has changed from a shrinking power after the Cold War, after we won the Cold War, and there was no dispute, right? How in that short segment of time, a quarter of a century, not more than a quarter of a century, how we got ourselves into this? Normally we we haven't asked that. And some in the power are still advocating to continue to go on that route. And no one thought about the moral problem of combining or fusing, exchanging, say, you know, exchanging blood with that economy, right? That economy is completely based on, you know, the prohibit of, you know, anti-theism, okay? That country, that system, that political system based on anti-theism, how can we allow ourselves to be fused with that, okay? So we got into our problem. So at the top level, there's still not enough people to look at this historically, morally, right? The Trump administration began to look at that. And I think among all the members of the Trump administration, Mike Pompeo saw it most clearly. And even then, they look at it politically. I'm not sure they have looked deep enough to be to the level of morality. So, now, first of all, I just gave the example of how the overall power ranking change. Okay. And then, if we look at how that system, the Chinese communist system, has changed our free economy, right? We are supposed to be a free economy. We're supposed to be a fair competition. That is also changed. And people don't see it that way. People haven't seen it. In our station, we have continued to talk about it. Remember when the NBA, when the Rocket, general manager, Murray, posted a message to, support the Hong Kong freedom fighters, you know, he was shut down by the NBA. And when, you know, arguably the greatest player, a GOAT, what they call the greatest of all time, LeBron James, when the Lakers visit China, those players have to tuck their tails in between their legs, right? This is, the NBA is the U.S. made the best basketball association company or basketball business in the world, right? And yet it has to silence itself. And how do we get here?
Exactly.
And this is no longer a free economy, because those companies who oppose China will not be able to make money in China. Right? So, on the other hand, company who remain silent on China's human rights will be allowed to make money in China. So is the field still flat? It's tilted against those who are critical of China. So can we say this country is still a free economy? At least when it comes to political view, well, not even political view, when it comes to human rights issue, it's no longer a fair field, playing field. Those who are critical of China's system will have a fewer opportunity. And this is allowed, by our own system. A system that is supposed to be free and fair, and yet it is people who are in this country, particularly those Wall Street, those multinational, our media, that look at this with a blind, you know, eyesight. Right? They look away. So that has changed our moral standard. It is okay to look away, to be silent on what's wrong, and you will have economic reward.
Yeah. What a trade-off.
So, right. So how deep is that influence in our social life, in our way of thinking? It's unmeasurable. Right, so this is the second aspect. I'm not giving a comprehensive view even. I'm just giving examples, right? And then our economy, our competitive ability, our competitiveness in economy, that has also been compromised. An example, the what they call the solar power basically solar power board. Okay, the United States was the first one that developed those technologies. Yet through crafty maneuver, right? So I should give a more detailed coverage of how that happened. So that is, it's still stolen away from the United States through China's what I called subnational invasion. China has divided up United States to 50 states instead of a whole country. So China are dealing with those states directly. And China's president, Xi Jinping, attended a forum that consisted of the 50 states of the United States, governors. Right. There he pitched China's market to this 50 states. But China's president, he is the head of the whole country. Right? Instead of dealing with Biden and Trump or Obama, okay, the United States state head, he went directly to 50 states. The governor of the 50 states of the United States, and pitch China's economy to them separately. And it is through those interactions that China signed agreement, joint venture agreement, to develop solar power system. And then three years after that, China's solar power industry took off. And that's just one example.
Imagine that.
China's, what?
I said, imagine that.
Yeah. So, economically, China has also taken advantage of the United States. There's so many stories of technology for market. Like China forced those countries who want to do business in China to let China in on their technology, or basically their trade secret, or else you will not have the market. Right? So
We're gonna have to do this on the other side of the news. We're going to come back with our guest, Dr. Shezong Chen. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.